I think at a certain point we should go back and probably do like a good Chazara, but for now I want to move weiter because I want to get to the end of like this section, David Hamelech's nighttime, his procedures and everything, and then there will be like a better stopping point. So that's where we're at right now. So a little bit about what we're talking about. Basically, we got on a tangent because the Mishnah said that the first opinion of the Mishnah was that the final time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis is Ad Sof Hashmara Rishona, until the end of the first Ashmura, which led us to a discussion about the different Ashmuros, which led us to a discussion about David HaMelech and what he would do at different Ashmuros. The middle of the night, Palga Delilah, how David would get up and he would start learning Torah and everything. Then we had a whole discussion about the exactly how to define the Neshef and everything. But basically, the last thing we learned was that David would get up in the middle of the night and he would learn Torah. Okay, we actually said that he would get up earlier in the morning. He would get up at dawn. So then there was a whole discussion. Okay, he would get up, but he was like half up, or he would get up and first he would do Shiras Tishbachos, and then he would learn. But anyways, David, at the middle of the night, he would begin to learn Torah. So I think the last thing we learned was we're like, what is it, like 13 lines from the bottom. V'David miyada palga delayla emas. Okay, where basically we said David got up in the middle of the night, palga delayla, he got up at midnight, and asked the Gemara, V'David mihava yada palga delayla emas. And David, would he really know when midnight was? Palga delayla, the middle of the night, emas, when it was? How would David know the middle of the night? Why is that so hard for him to know the middle of the night? Well, first of all, they didn't have clocks or anything. But more than that, we have a Pesach connection right now as we're leaving Pesach. So says the Gemara, Hashta, Moshe Rabbeinu lo hava yada. So now Moshe Rabbeinu himself, okay, who's the smartest, the greatest of all Nevi'im, lo hava yada, he didn't know. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when midnight was, when Palga Delilah was? Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Kachatzos halayla ani yotze b'toch Mitzrayim. When talking about Makas Bechoros and what's going to happen for the plague of the Bechoros, Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro, he warns Mitzrayim, Kachatzos halayla, around midnight, Kachatzos, around midnight, Ani yotzi b'toch Mitzrayim. He's quoting Hashem. Hashem, right? Hashem said, Kachatzos, around midnight, my presence is gonna go out throughout Mitzrayim. So says the Gemara, my Kachatzos, why does Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's quoting Hashem, say Kachatzos around midnight? So if you want to say that Hashem is the one he's quoting Hashem, right? That Hashem himself said Kachatzos, that can't be. Can't be that Hashem himself said Kachatzos. Me, Ika, Sveika, Kame, Shemaya, right? Kachatzos around midnight is suggestive of uncertainty, of a sveika. Says the Gemara, mi ika sveika. Is there a suffix? Is there doubt? Kame Shemaya by Hashem? Hashem would never say kachatzos. Ella, d'amar lei bachatzos. Rather, Hashem said to Moshe, bachatzos, precisely, exactly at midnight, va'ata ihu, and came Moshe va'amar kachatzos, and came Moshe and he said around midnight, But the bottom line is, okay, the bottom line that we're getting from all this, that Hashem said Bachatzos and Moshe said Kachatzos. Why did Moshe say Kachatzos? Because he didn't know exactly when midnight was. And if he didn't know exactly when midnight was, he didn't want to be imprecise. He didn't want to, right, in order to do the plague exactly at midnight, to say Bachatzos, you would have to do the plague exactly at midnight. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't know exactly when midnight is. I don't have an alarm clock. I'm not perfect. I can't figure it out exactly. So we see from here that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know exactly when midnight was. So Ilema Misfekelei V'David Havei Yada. So if we Alma Misfekelei. So therefore we see from here Alma. Therefore Misfekelei. Moshe Rabbeinu was unsure. Did David have a Yada question mark? And David knew? So basically, right, this whole, basically, just to boil it down to like one sentence, is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said Kachatzos meant that he was unsure when midnight was. So how could David HaMelech be certain about exactly when midnight is? So that's the question of the Gemara. Right, and again, this is all based on the pasuk that we learned earlier in the Amud. David HaMelech himself said, "Chatzos Laila Akum Lohodos Lecha," and I get up in the middle of the night. Chatzos Laila Akum. He didn't say Kachatzos around Chatzos. I get up. So that's the whole premise of the question, and the premise and the question is based on the fact that by Makos Bechorios Hashem, our Moshe said Kachatzos. Hashem would never say Kachatzos, but Moshe said Kachatzos. So answers the Gemara the following. That David actually did have some sort of alarm clock. That David did it. There's a reason, right? Okay, Moshe wasn't sure, but David had a special way, a special alarm clock of knowing exactly when Kachatzos was. David Simana Havelei. David had a sign. David had a Simana, a way of telling, of knowing exactly when Kachatzos was. The Amar Rav Acha Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. So Rav Acha Bar Bizna said the name of Rav Shimon Chasida. Kinor Hayatalei Lamala Mimitasa Yishel David. There was a harp that was hanging on top of the bed of David. Kinor, a harp, Hayatalei was hanging Lamala on top of Mitasa Yishel David, the bed of David. V'kevan shigia chatzos laila, as soon as chatzos laila came, ba ruach tifonis, a northern wind would come, v'noshevis bo u'minage me'elav, and it would blow into the harp, and the harp would, minage me'elav, would begin to, on its own, play music. Through the wind. The wind would blow into the harp. I was looking into it a little bit. There's not exactly sure. Tzarchin a little bit more whether this was like a miraculous thing. David HaMelech was, was on such a high level that Hashem created this miracle that he had this alarm clock and hang his harp. Or whether there's actually that was just like the wind patterns that like David was able to know and like able to adjust his harp that it would exactly at Chatzos, that's the way the wind would blow and he would be able to get up. Okay, either way, says the Gemara, what would happen at this time? Miyad hayoi made veisik b'toros ad she'ola muda shachar. David Melech, right, once his alarm clock would go off, once the kino or the harp would blow, he would get up, Isaac with Torah, deal with Torah, ad she'olah amud ha-shachar, until amud ha-shachar. Kevan she'olah amud ha-shachar, once it was amud ha-shachar, once it was the day began, nechnasu chachmei Yisrael etzlo. The chachamim, the leaders of Israel, would come into David's chambers. Amrulo, they would say to him, Adoneinu ha-melech. Our master, the king, Amcha Yisrael Tzurchim Parnasa, your nation, the Jewish nation, Tzurchim Parnasa, they need money, right? Age-old problem. even in the times of David. So Amar le Amar lehem lechu vidparnasu ze mi ze. Go and make parnasa one from another. Different explanations about this. What does it mean? Go and make parnasa one from the other. I think the Pashup shot, the way most of the Rishonim learn it, is that it means that the Anim should, that the Ashirim should give tzedakah to the Anim. That's what it means. That you should figure it out. Go, you know, the Gavir should fund the Anim, and that should. Some people learn that it just means like get economics, trickle down economics, get your businesses going, and you'll make money. But they responded and said it's not going to work. We don't have enough money. We're in a financial crisis. Amru lo, ein hakometz maspia et ha'ari. So they said to him, ein hakometz. A kometz is like a kamitza that the Kohen Gadol does, right? A fistful of food. Can't feed the lion. A fistful of food is not enough to feed a lion. Meaning, right, something along the lines like, we don't have enough, the lion needs a lot. The lion needs a whole, steaks to satiate him, to feed him. We have a little bit, a fistful. So you're telling that the rich people should give the poor people money. There's not enough rich people. They don't have enough money to go and be mefarnes the poor people. And then they say another mashal. V'ein habor mismale michulyoso. A pit cannot be filled from its own chol, its own sand. That's the way Rashi learns it. That a pit, if you dig a pit, you take you dig a pit by taking the sand out, and then you put the sand on the side, let's say, when you're digging the pit, and then you want to go refill the pit, it's not going to be exactly level, exactly full. It's going to be a little bit lower than you started when you refill the pit. And the way that Rashi learned the mashal is that internally we don't have enough. We don't have enough that the rich people can give the poor people. Okay, Tosfos has a little bit of a different shot that michul yoso is water that a pit needs. If you want to fill a bore, a well with water, you can't just use the water that's in it. You need to bring external water also. So, but the bottom line is that we can't. You're saying go and have the rich, feed and give money and give tzedakah to the poor. We're saying that there's just not enough money to go around. So, what do you do if there's not enough money internally within the Jewish nation? So, David says, Amar lahem lechu pashtu yideichem migdud. So go and extend your arms in battle. That's what you got to do. You got to go get taxes and get spoils from war. That's how you're going to make money. So go and fight for, attack other nations, and that's how you'll get money. Okay, so right. Amar lechem dechu pashtu yadeichem migdud. So says the Gemara that he said go to battle. So now there was a three-step process what they would do before they would go to battle. Miad, right away, yoatzim b'achitofel. They would get Eitza from Achitofel, who was the advisor about, different strategies and how to fight the battle and what the proper method, the proper war strategies were. Yoatzim b'Achitofel. So they got advice, they seek counsel from Achitofel. Nimlachim b'Sanhedrin. And then they would go and seek advice from the Sanhedrin. Is this a good battle? Should we fight the battle? V'sholim b'Urim v'Tumim. And then they would go and ask the Urim v'Tumim. They would ask the Choshen, they would ask Hashem via the Choshen whether or not they would be successful. So this is actually pretty interesting, three different things to think about. They would first ask advice, then they would ask the Sanhedrin, and then they would ask the Urim V'Tumim. So why do you need all of them, like Mepharshim said? If in the end of the day you're going to just ask Hashem, and you're going to be dependent on, Hashem says you'll win, you'll win. Hashem says you won't win, you won't win, right? Hashem is only going to tell them to fight if they're going to win. So you know, different things to think about. You know, they point out that Yotzim Achitofel, it's not enough to just ask Hashem. You also have to do your Hishtadlus. You also have to figure out, you know, what the best way to Hashem say you should fight or you should not. But now we have to do our own human Hishtadlus and figure out Eitzah, what's the best way to fight the war, and you know, how we're going to be the most successful. Nimlachim B'Sanhedrin, right? If Hashem said yes, and Achitofel says it's a good war, they'll win the war, you know, the military cabinet, whatever. So why do you have to go ask the Sanhedrin? What are the rabbis going to do? So all the Svarim bring down that the reason you would go tell the Sanhedrin is not necessarily for advice. The Urim, you're going to do the Urim V'Tumim, you're going to do Achitofel, but so that the Sanhedrin could daven, the power of tefillah during war. So important to think about these three different things: Achitofel, the Sanhedrin, and the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, let's do a little bit more just to finish this idea. I'm Rav Yosef, my Kra. What's the pasuk? How do we know that this is the process? How do we know that they would go first the Eitzah from the advisors, then the you know, they would speak to the Sanhedrin, and then they would speak to the, and then they would ask the Urim V'Tumim. So my Kra. So says the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Pasuk is really just listing, the Pasuk Pshat is listing the advisors of David HaMelech. Ba'achar Achitofel, after Achitofel, you had Benayahu ben Yoyada, you had Evyasar, and you had Tzar Tzava HaMelech Yoav. And the Tzar Tzava HaMelech, the general for David was Yoav. That's the Pasuk Pshat. That is just listing Achitofel, Benayahu ben Yoyada, Evyasar, Tzar Tzava HaMelech Yoav. But the way the Gemara is going to learn is that they're all referencing different things. Achitofel Zeyoitz. V'chinu Omer. So how do we know that Achitofel is Yoitz, is seeking advice? Says the Pasuk, V'atzar Achitofel Asher Yatz B'yamim Ahim Kasher Sha'al Ish B'dvar Elohim. So the Pasuk says that asking the Eitz of Achitofel, the advice of Achitofel in those days, was Kasher Yishal B'dvar Elohim. It was like asking Hashem something. That's how good his advice was. Benayahu ben Yoyada Zeh Sanhedrin. So Benayahu ben Yoyada is the Sanhedrin, and right, the pasuk first had Achitofel, then it had Benayahu ben Yehoyada, the Evyatar Elu Urim V'Tumim, and Evyatar is the Urim V'Tumim. So that's the order. That's how we know it's the order. V'chinu Omer Benayahu ben Yoyada La Crazy V'Placey. Right? How do we know that that Evyatar is the Urim V'Tumim? Because a different pasuk says that Evyatar was in charge of the Krasi Uplasi, and the Krasi Uplasi is a reference, is a remez to the Urim V'Tumim. Right? The Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate that the Kohen wore, the Krasi Uplasi is the Urim V'Tumim. Says the Gemara, V'lama Nikra Shmam Krasi Uplasi. Why is the Urim V'Tumim called the Krasi Uplasi? So says the Gemara. Crazy, it's called crazy. Shekortim divrayim, they would cut their words. Korsim divrayim, they would cut their words. Meaning, it was very precise. The Urim V'Tumim, you say exactly what it's supposed to say. Very precise, precision, sharp cut. Uplasi shemuflaim b'divrayim, and it's called placey. Like okay, big shout out to Rav Goldman, right? Pelaploim shemuflaim b'divrayim was wonderful in its words and what it would say. And then just to end off, the pasuk ended off. V'achar kach tzar tzava l'melech Yoav. How do we know that this is all these different things are talking about what they would do before war? Because the end of that pasuk that we said, v'achar achitov ben amay ben Yoav v'eviatar, and then at the end of the pasuk it says v'tzar tzava l'melech Yoav. So the tzar tzava, the general, then they would go to war. So that's how we see that this is what they would do before they go to war. One more line. Amar of Yitzchak bar Ada. The Imri, so Rav Yitzchak Barada said, "V'Imri la Amar Rav Yitzchak Braid Rav Idi." Some say it was Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Idi. My Kra. What is the pasuk? Getting back to what we started with, what is the pasuk that David HaMelech had a harp on top of his bed? Okay, we got on a whole tangent. We said, oh, once he would wake up, he would daven, and then in the morning they would come in and ask for advice, and how do we have parnasa, and you should be mifarnes u'mizu, and they said, we don't have enough funds internally. So he said, go fight a war. What would they do before a war? But how do we know? My Kra, what's the pasuk that David HaMelech had a harp on top of his bed? Says the pasuk in Tehillim. Uru Kvodi, let my honor wake up. Ora Hanevel Vechinor, let the harp and the navel.
That's a liar. I don't know what a liar is. L-Y-R.
Is that how to pronounce it? L-Y-R. Okay, we got to brush up on our biblical instruments. Kinor, harp. So he had the... Right, wake up, the lyre and the kinor and the harp. Ira Shachar, wake up morning. So we see that part of David HaMelech's wake up process. Ura Kavodi, Ura Nevel V'Kinor. Ira Shachar, let the morning wake up. So we see that the harp was part of what would wake him up. So we'll stop here. Interesting stuff about David HaMelech.